الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد إن شاء الله we continue with the series on saviors of the Islamic spirit and الحمد لله last month we spoke about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz رحمه الله تعالى and we discussed certain aspects of the life of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala. So we continue now with Hassan al-Basir rahimahullah ta'ala, like was announced after the Maghrib Salah, inshallah, around 15-20 minutes, the program will be inshallah. So Hassan al-Basir rahimahullah ta'ala, just for some context, after the demise of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, there was a reversal in certain state policies by the Umayyads, namely because they wanted to maintain the power, maintain the wealth, and a lot of the reforms which Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala had started had been reversed. And mainly this then led to, again, hereditary rule, so rulership passed down, and which led to hypocrisy and extravagance. And again, society was leaning towards worldly indulgence, and seeking pleasure was an important aspect of the leader's life, and the important aspects in terms of the hereafter, in terms of deen and understanding deen. People were leaving, the leadership was leaving these important aspects, and this also became common in the public. Again, this was just like at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, and we spoke about Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik and others who were leaders prior to him, there was a moment of great danger within the ummah, and it again felt like the it was the beginning of the end, and there was the leaders were disregarding virtues, and those virtues that they should be promoting, they were disregarding. Again, sin became more common. And if this continued, this trajectory continued, then the ummah would potentially become materialistic and self-indulgent with no concept of the hereafter. So as we spoke previously as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a system in place. And the world is such, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. The world is such that it changes, the leadership changes. And we see it today as well in various countries in the world, various places in the world, where today there is one ruler and tomorrow there will be another ruler. So nothing remains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time and respite to the leaders to change their ways, to become better. And ultimately, this is the system and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have hope and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at all times He gives us those leaders that have mercy upon us and that are beneficial for the general public. So, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about the fact of the effect of wealth, or the effect that wealth will have upon the ummah, and this was something that was reflected in the latter part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, where he mentioned that he fears for the ummah in terms of the wealth, when the wealth starts to come in to the ummah. And that's the reality. Ibn Khaldun has mentioned that throughout history, if you look at all the civilizations, in particular the Muslim civilization as well, but if you look at the civilizations, then when there is poverty, then people will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there is hardship, people will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and there's an upward trajectory towards affluence and power, and then it reaches a peak where the Muslims become the leaders, they become wealthy, they have wealth, they have affluence, then they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at Spain, if you look at the Ottomans, if you look at various different times or periods during the Islamic history, you'll see, and Ibn Khaldun mentions this, that you'll see how when there's affluence, so even in Spain, when there was affluence, then they started to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they started to indulge in vices and sin. and wrong, which then takes away the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a downward spiral. The downward spiral towards again becoming weak, becoming oppressed, becoming overpowered. And that's ultimately the end of where it reaches again, and the whole cycle starts again. So this is obviously on a level which we are talking about in terms of rulership level. But also in our own lives, individually as well, if we have affluence, then we should question ourselves. That do I forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I grateful for what He has given me? Am I aware? Do I have self-awareness in terms of what He has given me and what blessings I have? Or have I forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or have I forgot the blessings that He has given me? And I have left worshipping Him. And many of us within our community as well, mashallah, through this, in this cycle, probably at a point where we have comfort, we have the luxuries of different aspects of life in terms of a house, car, whatever it needs, the materialistic needs that we have, they're all fulfilled. And financially as well, most of us or many of us are in a position where we are comfortable. Gone are the days where individuals would share a house. Gone are the days where people were going through difficulty in terms of in the 1960s, or for many of us, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And now we have the infrastructure, we have many organizations, we are able to support others around the world. But in this supporting of others, are we forgetting ourselves? And this self-awareness, or being aware of Ibn Khaldun's theory, which is evident in terms of, he has proof in terms of, if you look at the dynamic of the different the empires or different dynasties that have ruled, that when there is affluence, then individuals forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then how do we save ourselves? So we look at it on a very macro level, on a very wide level. Okay, this was like this in the Spain was the same, the Umayyads was the same, the Abbasids was the same, right? But then we forget to look at it. So we have awareness, but we don't have self-awareness in the sense that, but in my life as an individual, where am I on this curve as such? So if the curve goes from down upwards and it reaches a peak where you have everything and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it comes back down, then where am I on this peak? And if I am at the top with affluence, have I forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And can I change that? Become self-aware and change that and make sure that I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not displeasing Him. Because generally, whenever there's a need for something, then we will, you know, beseech Allah Ta'ala, we'll wake up for tahajjud salah, we'll do so many things. But when there is not those, the environment isn't such that we need to wake up for tahajjud, then it'd be very difficult for us to wake up. So is the nature of the human being. So, at this moment as well, in the time where Hasan Basri rahimahullah Ta'ala was to come, then there was this, if the trajectory continued, then it seemed as though the ummah would become very materialistic and self-indulgent, with no concept of the hereafter. And there are parables in terms of to our time as well, how we have forgotten the concept of the hereafter. We are more worried about this world and living here and becoming settled here, and how we are more worried about being affluent, and we're more worried about the future of our children financially rather than even potentially the religion, the deen, and so forth. And we do things to please ourselves and our nafs, and we forget the concept of the hereafter. It's something to consider and something to think about. And then there were certain individuals who pushed back, right? And these individuals who had strong iman, and there will always be a group of people who will remind us of the hereafter, who will remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about these people, and their advice and their sermons and their khutbah goes on to save millions, right? Even in this day and age, we need to make sure that we find company of those individuals. And we're going to move on to that inshallah, but company of those individuals who remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who play a role in us connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we live in a very materialistic world. Everything is about materialism. You know, decorating the house, whatever it may be. Everything is about materialism. And how does one protect himself in the times of fitan? And definitely it is a time of fitan, a time of test and tribulation. So, Throughout history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected and safeguarded deen, the religion, and the teachings of the religion through beacons of light in the form of righteous individuals who upheld true Islam, who were beacons of true Islam, and who taught individuals how to adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they had righteous qualities. Until today we remember them. Okay? So we remember who they were, we remember what they did, and we remember how they were and how they came about to be who they were. Because there are so many lessons for us in their life. And the ummah always persevered and continued. And in the discussion that we're having, one such person was Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. So Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala was a tabi'i, a person who came in the generation of the Sahaba. So a tabi'i is someone who met and stayed and had the companionship of a Sahabi. A Sahabi is someone who met and spent time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the state of Iman and passed away as a mu'min as well. And same with the tabi'i, that he was lived as a mu'min and passed away as a mu'min as well. And he was the student of the Sahaba. He spent time with the likes of Zayd bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was living in and amongst the Sahaba. So he was born in 21 Hijri. So just to put it into context, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away 11 Hijri. Thereafter, Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafah was for 2 years. And thereafter, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafah was there. So during the khilafah of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala was a small child. Right? So he had this fortune of spending time with the Sahaba, namely Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and we're going to get onto that inshallah, where we'll conclude for today. So his father's name was Yasir, who was a servant of Zayd bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Zayd bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was tasked to collate the mushaf, the Quran as such, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, but also at the time of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And his mother's name was Khayra, and she was a maid in the home of Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had this very stable, good foundation. And again for us as well, that in order for us to hope that our children, and again it's a hope, because nobody can confirm or make sure or know for a fact that their child will remain on steadfastness and remain in a good way and remain on deen. We make dua and we try our best. That's all we can do. That we try our best and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides our progeny. But there are certain asbab, certain causes that we can take in order to have the best chance. So for example, making dua for our children. And one is, what the lesson that we take from the life of Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, that good company. So going and taking our children to individuals who are pious within our community, just to meet them, just to meet with them, just to sit with them, just to take their du'as. Why? Because this can have a huge effect, huge positive effect. These individuals who are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make one dua, and because of one dua, the whole future of that person is changed. So we know, and there are many examples throughout history of individuals who spent a few moments with a pious person and they turned out to be something special, or they turned out to be friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves. So we have hope, and we have to nurture our children in the best way possible, and we have to nurture ourselves as well. Again, we are aware of nurturing our children, but many a time we lack and we fail to be self-aware. That how do I nurture myself to make sure that I have a good effect on my child? It's very easy to point a finger at somebody else, and very difficult to point a finger on ourselves. So Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, as a child, and this is where we're going to conclude inshallah today, that he was taken into the home of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who would remain the Khalifa for 2 years following the birth of Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. And it was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who gave him the name Hassan. So this was something, many times, a person may go to a pious person and ask for a name. Yeah? Why? For the barakah, for the blessing, but also knowing that this person has the knowledge of names, the knowledge of Arabic, and will give a good name. Right? So nowadays, it's become such that we have this thing of calling them a unique name or name that nobody has. But the reality is that having those names where they have a pious personality behind that name. So inshallah, the qualities of that pious personality will come into that child as well. That's the kind of intention that we should have. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him a dua. He said that Allahumma faqihu fi deen. Another blessing that you go and we just mentioned to a pious person. Then that pious person will make dua. So he said, oh Allah, give him the understanding of deen. The same dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, part of it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa'allimu ta'wil. For Abdullah bin Abbas, he said, wa'allimu ta'wil, yani, and teach him the ability to interpret the Quran. Interpret the Quran. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as the Mufassir of the Quran. Ra'isul Mufassirun. That he was the leader of all the Mufassirs. The second part of the dua that Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave to Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala was, wa'habibhu ila nas. And make him beloved to the people. Right? So when someone is beloved to somebody, then they become attracted to them, so they listen to them, they follow them. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave this dua. It just so happened that if you want to understand, and we're skipping certain aspects of Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala's life, just to understand that when he passed away in Basra, and the whole of the Jamia Masjid in Basra was empty at the time of his janazah. Because everybody was there at the janazah of Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is how much people loved him. So this is the dua that he gave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we conclude here inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow in the footsteps of our pious predecessors. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us also beacons of light for the whole ummah, but specifically for our families, for our children, and for all of the individuals who are in our sphere of and our circle of influence and circle of concern. Ameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika.